Here we are on this beautiful day of, oh my goodness, what is it? It is May 19th already. Holy moly. Oh my goodness, how time moves on. We are getting ready to launch the first lesson of our creation webinar. It's going to be fabulous. And I know that a lot of you enrolled are actually on this call because I can see your names on the board. So look forward to seeing you later this afternoon. And I do hope you received the extra mailing that I sent you for your opening course today. If you just didn't get on your computer, you haven't looked for it, please do go look for it before you call in for our course today. But now, let's move into our reason and purpose for coming together at this moment, and that is to receive a blessing from Yeshua the Christ. And I would invite anyone who has a special blessing request to sign in. And the way you do that is you just press on your touch-tone phone, star 6. Then you'll hear a prompt that says press 1. Do that, and that brings you in and then onto the board where I can open your line. It's really important to keep the call muted so that we have a good recording for those to listen to who didn't quite make it on to the whole message. Some people actually time their blessing so that they call in just before we start the blessing. They don't get the message, but they call in later and listen to it in their own time. This saves them airtime on their telephone, especially this is good for people who are calling in internationally or who maybe just have a very limited time frame on Sunday. So you're certainly welcome to do that. This is why also we like to be on time as much as possible for actually starting and delivering the blessing of Yeshua. This may be a good day to talk again about how it's done. We'll see how it goes. If there's anyone who wishes to be on the call to make a comment, let us hear how you're doing with the blessings. Let us hear how you're doing with life or any special blessing request that you have, because this allows me to make a more personal message for everyone. I think I hear someone coming on, and I was wrong. I had just stepped away from my desk to get a drink of water. Then we will begin with the what I really most had in mind for today, and that is let's talk about all of us. Let's talk about the spirit of creation within us and how the spirit of creation can bring us blessings. One of the things that I think we fail to realize, because so often we have ego associations with creation. We see that on the one hand, all of creation came from the divine, and of course the divine is so special and glorious, we associate special powers not available to us, and perhaps that's true. But by extension, when we look at people who live talented lives, we think they also have special powers or talents not belonging to the rest of us. We see people who have created great businesses or made pivotal inventions in life, and we say, well, I guess that is just what God gave them to do, or that's their special ability. Gosh, I wish I had some of that. Actually, all of life creates. All of life. Even the rocks. Just sometime, if you can, go to a crystal mine. If not, go to a rock shop and look at some crystals. And look at how the crystals actually multiply and have babies. a nuclear physicist will be glad to spend hours telling you how creation occurs at the atomic level with basic particles multiplying and replicating and activating the energy within other particles. Creation's occurring everywhere. And the fact is, most of the time, it has a collective, collaborative quality to it. Rarely, really is creation just a singular, individual action. Most of the time, it's a groundswell of collaborative action that then releases itself in a few pivotal and life-changing expressions. This is true even within ourselves. You know, look at times when you've gone through life, you've prepared, 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 and then all of a sudden, it came together. Healing is a great deal of this way. You may be recovering from a surgery or some illness, and you don't see much improvement day after day, but you're doing all the right things. You're eating well, you're taking your medications and your vitamins and everything that your healthcare specialist is guiding you to do. And then all of a sudden, one day, you turn a corner. It's just altogether different. What happened? Well, what happened is that everything came together to the point that a new unity was activated within your body. And that new unity actually created health. I'm not sure we actually repair bad health. And there are even some scientific confirmations to this. We live in a universe that is bent toward entropy. Entropy, which is the loss of energy within particles so that they become literally dead particles of dust, the consumption of energy in the maintenance of existence, but then we also have an expanding universe. How do you explain that? How do you explain that we have an expanding universe when entropy is a predominant process in this universe? We see it on ourselves. We look at our bodies. We're aging. Even if you're 5 years old, you're aging. Well, yeah, you actually are. You just don't see it until after you're about 21. But everything in life gets consumed, and yet it continues to grow and expand. What's this miracle? Well, I think the miracle literally is spontaneous regeneration from the basic template that was there all along. The basic template that was created at one time generates its properties into existence. The properties are slowly consumed, and then periodically it regenerates itself. Let's look at the way Yeshua healed people. He didn't take a sick person and say, now, if you will do this, this, and this, you will get better over time. We will repair this state of illness in you. He actually gave no credence to the illness at all. He touched a person, looked at them, talked to them, or addressed them in some manner, and then he said, rise and walk. Simple as that. Rise and walk. What had he actually done? Had he healed the illness, or had he recreated the person? If you look at his life and all the miracles that are in it, I would say the recreation is the standard miracle, from multiplying the fishes to gathering the fishes to then the raising of Lazarus. You know, necrosis, which is the deterioration of cellular structure, cellular formations after the point of death. Necrosis is a virtually impossible condition to reverse. it seems obvious when the whole person has died, but doctors studying little small areas of necrosis in skin cancer or other illnesses that have impaired the body in some way, they see evidence of cellular necrosis there. And the necrosis is impossible to reverse. So what they do is they take the knife and cut it out to remove the pattern of necrosis because they can't reverse it. So when we look at the raising of Lazarus, was it the reversal of necrosis, or did Yeshua take the basic template of life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, personal, that was the man, that was Lazarus, and recreated? This is actually one of the miracles that most convinced people that the power of God was in him, that he was not just a wonder worker or a teacher or a prophet or a political messiah, but that he was the presence of God on earth. And I think over and over again what people were witnessing is that he took whatever situation of negativity or challenge prevailed upon him, and he simply recreated the perfect template. This is what he did with his own life after death on the cross. He did not try to reverse the process. Not once. From the impending arrest to the arrest, the punishment, the suffering on the cross to the moment of death, did he reverse anything. Not once. He recreated the life within him after the body rested and was released and the soul was released into its perfect creative power. This is the power of creation. And it's not, the power of creation is, I really want you to see, it's not about creating music, painting, art, gardens, businesses, creating some innovation in life, a new source of energy. It's not about creating something that hasn't been there before. As King Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun or the moon. Nothing. Which meant that in his wisdom, some way, somehow, he had discovered that all things that will ever be have already been created in idea form by the Creator. They're already here. They just have to be activated by creation. And I believe that activation is probably the more accurate use of the word creation in the human context. The original prime creation is something that probably, and I say with great modesty for what I don't know, but probably belongs to God. Activation is what most likely belongs to us. And if we look at it in those terms and we see it as activation, we can see that everything we will ever need has already been given. Our only problem has been in not activating the potential. Our only problem has been in being too passive, too reluctant, wanting God to prove our worthiness, wanting other people to contribute to us or prove our worthiness or our value to them, not doing something. In talking with people who have worked in hospice cases and in reading posthumous biographies, I think it's pretty consistently true. What most people regret are not their mistakes, are their failures. They regret what they didn't do. They regret what they didn't activate. They regret what they didn't create. And I think it's really usually toward the end of life that most people begin to discover this. Well, I'm offering this to you now as a revelation, as one of the most profound secrets of life for you to have and to begin activating in your life all the potential within you, all that you are, the love that you are, the all the gifts that you have. If we remember the distribution of the talents in the parable Yeshua gave, several men were given talents. And in those days, a talent was not what it is today. It's not a gift of ability. It was actually a denomination of money. But the talents were distributed. Some of the men invested them. Some of the men just saved them and hid them away. Some of the men saved some, invested some, and so on. There was a whole range of what they did. But the one actually most disparaged by Christ was the one who just buried his talents. In other words, his life investment. As if he were protecting a treasure from the light. That was the one most disparaged, the one most dismissed from the equation. Even more than the one who spent his talents. Because at least the one who spent his talents knew there was something there. The one who just sat on them and did nothing was the one most disparaged. Now, what does that have to do with blessing? Well, what you're going to be receiving today, and every day you come to Christ's blessing, is a very powerful energy of activation. And some of you may have said before, well, why, Glenda, why energy? Why can't we just sit here in the peace of the Almighty, the peace of that, of the, well, how do I say it? The peace of inactivity. The peace of gentle bliss, of no rippling waters, the peace of no thought, no resistance, the peace of nirvana. Why cannot we just sit there? Well, you can. But what will be pouring through you is the energy of the Holy Spirit. The energy always comes as a force of activation. And that is actually the power of the Holy Spirit, is that it activates. It activates what the Creator already has established as a template. Now, Yeshua joins us, conducts the activation, and stands with us in our heart that we may courageously accept. Because sometimes the oncoming of activation can be a little challenging, a little frightening, because it may bring to light changes we need to make in our life. Or it could be like a garden hose that's gotten all bent up and you turn the water on, and then when it starts passing through all the crooks and bends, it whips around like a snake and has to purge itself before it can function normally as a garden hose. There are all kinds of things that can happen when you begin to activate. You may find that you just want to sleep more. You may find an acceleration of energy that's not even particularly directed toward a constructive activity. You just want to get out. You just want to go to town, do something, call a friend, walk, be in life, maybe catch up on your emails, whatever, and you say, what am I doing? This is crazy. Well, it could just be the energy actually purging you of all the stopped flows. So your response could be unique, but it will be a response to activation. Now, this activation, what does it do? Does it repair injury? Does it fill loss? Does it bring back failure? Not necessarily, because sometimes we need to let go of a failure in order to recreate more perfectly that which we wanted in the first place. Sometimes things need to fail so that we can reinvent them more perfectly in a better context at another time in another situation. If you had, for example, the aspiration to build your own home when you were 25 and you couldn't do it, well, it may be that it needed to fail so that you could have more energy put on the things that had to happen in your 20s, your early 30s, or even your 40s. Now, you're 48. You're at a point where you want a change in life. You need to freshen your life, and you need to make a statement of what your life has been about and you want it to be about. And all of a sudden, you've inherited this great piece of land from your departed uncle. It's all there. Now is the time to recreate, reinvent more perfectly that goal, that dream. You see, sometimes we have goals and dreams that are premonitions of the future. And we become impatient. We try to make them happen now. And they're not ready to happen. Because remember something I said a few minutes ago. Even though we create from the resources within us, and we activate what we create, and we take command of it, it's often, more likely than not, a bit of a collective or collaborative effort. Not meaning that it's by a committee. It doesn't mean we've got to go out and get other people to create with us. By collaboration, I mean with the timing of the universe, the rightness of economy, the rightness of your life, your family members, your friends, where you are, all of these factors coming together to make the right combination of potency. And that's what I mean by collaboration. Sometimes we get the idea for creation in a vacuum. It could come in a dream, in a meditation, in a high point of activity, and we say, oh, my gosh, that's what I'm doing with my life. That's what I want to do. And then we just keep nosediving. Finally, we give up thinking we're a failure. Do you know most things fail at least 7 times before they make it? Well, it's partly because we've got to work through it a number of times before we get all the ingredients. But it's also, as I said, often a collaborative effort that's very sensitive to timing and input from other forces and tributaries. And so letting go of all the times you failed can be a very important thing to do. Sometimes just flushing out those times, knowing that if something is right for you, it is part of the template of your life, like an embedded pattern of DNA, and it will reactivate given the right amount of energy in the right time and place. Your health will activate. The patterns of your social relationships will activate, will come to life anew. And coming to life anew is far more thrilling, isn't it, than repairing an old broken-down building? Just coming to life anew. This is actually the wisdom and the mystery, I believe, behind the whole concept of being born again. You see, so many things that Yeshua taught were expanded on by the apostles, to the apostles, just as he said, I give to you these things to understand, and to the others I teach in parables. he talked to the others in parables because they couldn't possibly have enough understanding to really grasp what he was saying. But he did say more to the apostles. But all the books of the Bible were written after his life. Many of them were written after the life of the apostle to whom it was attributed, with many contributions from ordinary people who've just passed on story upon story upon story. But you see, I think, based upon my observation, based on his teaching to me, and based on how I see his blessings work, that the whole idea of born again was not just a one moment in time thing that happened with one principal encounter with the Holy Spirit. I believe this is how Yeshua performed every one of his miracles. He recreated every fish. He recreated the perfect life of the people he healed. He recreated his own perfect life. He taught people that the real miracle of creation is activation of a template that God already has in place. And it gives us the sensation of being born again, when actually the template of our perfect life has already been. It always was. As the read in the Old Testament, from the beginning I knew you, even before, this is in Jeremiah, even before you were in the womb I knew you. What is that referring to, if not to an idea template of you? That you were part of the original plan and template of creation. It's always been there. You've always been there. But not every part of you has been activated. And the parts that had gotten caught up in entropy, which is just a normal process of this universe, need to be released so that those parts can be reactivated from the original program, the original template. And this is what we do in our blessing. So let's begin. I saw that you were so captivated by this message. Actually, it's a very powerful message. I'm glad you were. I'm not sure this message was passed on accurately and completely from the original giver of the message, which is Yeshua. But the mysteries have always been performed by those who have a connection with him and deeply understand in their heart the way he heals, the way he blesses our life, the way he helps us recreate what's here. So let's begin. Those of you who already know what to do, be in your position. Those who are new, remove your shoes and socks. Have your feet on the ground so that you may collect energy from the earth and that you may also connect energy from the heavens by being seated, not lying down, that the horizontal energy will actually pick up too much energy just flowing at the earth level. We want you to be semi-comfortably vertical, but then you can't be standing because then otherwise you could not be totally relaxed. So we've worked out a way. Just be comfortably seated. You can even be slouchy seated. It doesn't matter. Just be comfortable. Feet on the ground, head pointed to heaven. Now, set your mind over on the park bench. Tell it to enjoy its thoughts privately. You have other business to attend to. You have a visitation with God to enjoy and receive. Now allow your attention to fall into your heart and simply pray in a way that is comfortable and right for you. It's different for every one of us. We each pray differently. You can pray together if you're with your spouse, your mate, your friend, your children. You can hold hands passing energy from one to another is totally fine. Being in a circle of holding hands is totally fine. Spreading your hands to the world is totally fine. Just be seated so that you can convey the energy from heaven to earth. I will begin with an affirmation and invocation to Yeshua. Then I and the blessing givers will assist in the conduction of this energy. Dear Yeshua, thank you. Thank you for being with us and continuing to conduct the energy of God on earth, that it may fill, bless, and recreate the lives of us all, that it may furnish this awesome and beautiful earth with all the life and regeneration needed to move us forward into greater happiness, greater health, greater union. Help us to release that which has served its purpose and to open the perfect template of our life to be activated again by the coming of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us courage and love to accept this blessing and to be nurtured by it. Amen. The blessing has been given. Now I would like you to go and rest for 7 minutes and assimilate and be nourished by this activation. Allow it to be accepted and flow through every part of your body, heart, soul, and being. Know that you are loved and that you have been blessed. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.